This is
Make It Kind.
M.I.P.
with Masamela Matfumo.
Mark Thompson.
Make It Kind.
Get woke.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
New from Radiotopia presents Red for Revolution, an audio drama about Black love, queer romance, and liberation. Join Jasmine, an 18-year-old navigating her queer identity while learning about her grandmother's secret love affair. Through her discoveries, we're transported back to 1971 to witness two remarkable women embark on a romance that defies all conventions. Subscribe to Radiotopia Presents and listen to Red for Revolution wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, it's that time of the week again for another edition of Thursday Coast with the founder of the largest progressive community online, at least, dailycoast.com. Marcos Melitzis joins us, and this will be our last segment for a little while because it's August and Marcus has got some running around to do. I'll still be doing some things. We just won't have Thursday Coast for a few weeks. And, you know, we take a little time off and come back together. Marcos, how are you on this fine Thursday?
I am doing great. Thank you.
Good to see you.
Getting ready for vacation, as you said. So,
yeah. Well, and I hope you and the family enjoy it, you and the kids. I want to start this way because since last we've talked, and by the way, folks, for those of you who joined us last week, and saw my real-time reaction to South Park. Again, I want to apologize. Anybody wasn't ready for it. Basically, by my reaction, you can tell I wasn't ready for it either. They, you know, Facebook took it down, as you know. They didn't have it. I think it's still on, because I still stream the X. I don't know why. But it's still on X, and it's still on YouTube, the last I checked. And it's actually up at Daily Coast itself, at dailycoast.com. But yeah, that was,
It was funny, Mark. It was funny.
I haven't heard a word about it. So that's a good thing. We have heard, he kept saying, Epstein, he fell out with Epstein for hiring employees away from him. Come to find out, he was hiring women who worked in Mar-a-Lago. Now, I don't know whether you should have said that out loud either, but, you know, it just keeps getting.
No, and by the way, the timeline is suspect because he claimed that he stopped being friends with Epstein because he was stealing his spa workers.
Right.
And turns out that one of these underage women who recently died by suicide, he admitted that she worked for him. And it turns out that Epstein poached her from his spa 2 years before he sent this. You know, he talked about how Epstein's such a great guy and he likes women kind of young. So he knew that this was happening and he was still friends. And now he's trying to pretend that once Epstein started doing that, that was the end of the friendship. Turns out for years he knew that was happening. He's still talking about how Epstein likes him young and was still friends with him. And so the timelines don't quite align. So he keeps talking because Trump is not smart, right? He knows how to do politics, but he's not smart, if that makes sense. And so he can't shut up. And so he keeps digging himself deeper and implicating himself more and more into this whole disgusting mess. And yeah, no, and so they think that this summer will cool it, and then they'll stop talking about Epstein, and that's why Johnson shut down the House and sent everybody home because his own party was starting to rebel on Epstein. But I mean, if Trump won't shut up about it, it's not going away.
That you say you talk about how that the term for that is diarrhea of the mouth.
Yeah,
just dumb, just. Yeah, that's horrible. Yeah, I think there's a there. And I don't, with even his followers obviously being interested in this, I don't think this is going away anytime soon. They can postpone it. Well, after all. But this is this, you know, and it's that's the nature even of the media. because they try to get likes and clicks too. Mm-hmm. Right? Let's be real. And they know one day Trump's, even if he doesn't leave office, he's going to die. So.
And you know what's going on here is that the broader media has permission to pursue this because Wall Street Journal and Rupert Murdoch wrote about it.
Right.
Like, you're starting to see all this stuff come from the New York Times, had it in the front page of the Sunday Times. Why didn't they do that 8-9 years ago? Because they were going to be accused of being liberal media. Now they have permission, right? This is how messed up this media is. Same with CNN. CNN unearthed all these old, you know, all these old videos of Epstein and Trump hanging out together and laughing and partying it up. Why wasn't that released when the Epstein stuff was happening years ago? Because, again, they didn't have permission and they're afraid of being called liberal media. Right. Now that Rupert Murdoch wrote about it, oh, now they're all like digging in and being all investigative about it. Nine years too late, Mark.
And Marcos, is another good point to your point that you're making. Because Rupert Murdoch and Wall Street Journal are giving permission, he's not going to be able to down the road anytime soon, or if at all, go to the mainstream media and shake them down for money, mm-hmm. for covering it like he's been doing lately. He's gotten all the payouts he's going to get. Mm-hmm. So no payout is coming from this.
Nope.
Yeah, that's wow.
No. And this is, I will say, Trump has been effective.
Mm-hmm.
He's gotten Columbia to back down. He just got Brown University to cave, and they're gonna use the definition. You know, what a part of that deal was that they're gonna go back to, there's only two sexes. Like, what's an academic institution agreeing to that sort of thing? He got his tax bill for billionaires passed. He's basically destroyed the federal bureaucracy. Unconstitutionally, these are congressionally mandated programs that he's just shut down unilaterally. Like, it's actually kind of amazing how being the crazy guy who's going to destroy the Constitution and have a Supreme Court that's ideologically aligned and willing to do that, he's actually gotten stuff done. And it's all horrible. I think it's to the detriment of the American people. It's not a popular agenda. We're seeing that in his poll numbers going down. Poll numbers with his congressional Republicans going down as well. And there's going to be a reckoning for him and his party next year. But for now, he's actually being incredibly successful. And it's absolutely infuriating seeing all these companies, all these academic institutions just completely surrender. Now, he's declaring all sorts of victories with the trade wars. That one is, I think they're people are, there's trade understandings. There's no deals. Deals take years to actually work through.
Right.
I think these countries are playing them. But beyond that, domestically, I think he's being absolutely incredibly effective. And I don't know. I mean, there's definitely, to me, there's a sense that, oh, if a president can unilaterally destroy an agency he or she doesn't like, what's to stop the next Democratic president from coming in and just shutting down ICE?
Yeah, yeah.
And just starting over.
Right, just whatever. Just whatever.
Yeah, what's to stop that person to coming in and saying, all right, rural America, you voted 80% for Donald Trump or J.D. Vance or the next Republican. We're just going to cut all the programs that support you. Why should blue America be subsidizing you if you're not voting for me? What's to stop that Democratic president from doing that? Yeah. And you better believe I'll be agitating for that.
Right.
You better believe I'll be like, why are we wasting money? Why is this bill? Why? So Joe Biden's CHIPS bill, right, that was building manufacturing plants all across America, what, $40 billion? Almost all of that was in red districts. Like, stop that. Put that shit in South Philly. Put that in the south side of Chicago. Put it in Hunter's Bay Point in San Francisco. Put it in black and brown neighborhoods. Reinvigorate economically your supporters, your core base, your voters. Show them that it matters to vote for them.
Mm. I
mean, why should we vote for Joe Biden and then he gives money to the people who voted against him? Mm-hmm. And then they reward him by then voting for Donald Trump again. Like, that has to end.
Yeah.
And I'm a liberal. I'm not one of these people that says eliminate rural broadband or stop spending money on rural roads that six people use. I'm not that guy, but they are. They are. And maybe they need to understand that it matters who you vote for. And if that you want government programs to make your life better, particularly rural America, that absolutely 100% depends on the government. Rural America does not survive without it. They think they can. They think they're so rugged. They think they pull up their boots by the bootstrap. No, they don't. We subsidize it. Mark, you in New York City, me in San Francisco, we subsidize those of us in Washington, in Seattle, in Chicago, New York, New Jersey. New Jersey does a lot of subsidizing. Connecticut, Massachusetts, we subsidize them. And then they sit there and complain and talk about the liberal elites and they want to punish us.
Yeah.
I think it's time to return that favor.
Well, let's stay on that track for a moment. You've also written in the past couple of weeks, or really the past week, I should say, about here's the contrast. Biden puts these manufacturing plants in red districts. These red districts vote for Trump, and he's going to take away their hospitals and their food stamps.
And those manufacturing plants ain't happening.
All of it. Is it too early for people to get that?
So, yeah, I've been writing about this. Most Republicans won't and never will. And there was a story out of Nebraska where they went to this very red town that is losing its health clinic. The first health clinic to shut down from the one big, beautiful bill. They went to the town and the people were like, they keep wanting to blame Trump for everything. So they're not going to let it in, right? They're not going to accept, they're not going to admit that their vote cost them their medical lifeline in their, you know, middle of nowhere town. That's not going to happen. But here's the math. This is by party registration. This country is 49% Democratic, 48% Republican. I keep saying this, right? So if everything goes well, we win. But Mark, how often does everything go well?
Right.
Not often. And our voters are less likely to vote, right? They're younger used to be less economically advantaged. That's kind of shifted now. But it's been a low propensity voters. Single women are less likely to vote than married women. I mean, just generally speaking, younger people vote less. If everything goes well, we win. If not, we don't win. And also, it makes it tough to win Senate seats in the United States, given that there's a rural bias to the Senate. It's tougher to win House seats that are tight House seats. So what happens if we get 5% of people to either switch parties or we're not voting and to start voting, right? Let's get that 49% to 54%. And then that 48 drops to 43. So suddenly we're a 54-43 country. We have an 11-point lead in voter registration. And that gives us a margin. So this last election, there was a 6-point shift towards the Republicans. Just 6 points from 2020. We win. We still win.
Yeah.
And those tight Senate seats, we would have held on to Pennsylvania. So we'd be slightly better off. Go back 2 years, we win North Carolina, right? The Senate's still in our hands. So I think we even hold on to Sherrod Brown's seat in Ohio. So we need that margin. So we don't need, everybody's like, oh, no, the cult's not changing their mind. The cult is not changing their mind. That we can all agree on. Like, it's a cult. It's a cult for a reason. But what we can do is that we can just look at those margins and just push 5 points. It's not a lot. It's not a big shift, right? 5 points. 5 points is all we need to do, whether it's shifting voters, whether it's non-voters finally voting. We can do that. It dramatically changes the math. So that's what I'm hoping Trump is helping us do. But Democrats need to do a better job also of, you know, being in opposition. And that's a whole different story. But that's a challenge. And in the rural areas, they're going to still be red, but we don't need them to be blue. We just need them to be less red. Or they'll have a bunch of those people not vote because they screwed themselves and they may not want to vote for it. I see this a lot. I didn't vote for what Trump is doing. It's still better than Kamala Harris. Well, okay, great. So don't vote at all. Like, I'm okay with that too. If you're going to be an a-hole and vote for other people to lose stuff, just don't vote.
You know that feeling when your day finally slows down and you just want to relax, unplug, and feel good? That's where Mood.com comes in. They're changing the game, delivering legal THC products right to your door, no shady dealers, and absolutely no medical card required, just good vibes and better sleep, shipped straight from their farm to your couch. From delicious THC gummies, smooth vape pens, to premium THC flower, Mood has it all. And everything's federally legal under the 2018 Farm Bill. Yeah, this isn't some loophole. It's the real deal. Head to Mood.com and use code FIRST20 for 20% off your first order. That's MOOD.com. Find your mood.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King. Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls, or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.
The 5% that we need to change, and folks, this is important. We always magnify more than it is. It becomes overwhelming. That's what happens when you're defeated and depressed. That's natural. But it's 5%. Now, that's nationally, right?
Mm-hmm.
If we were to go state by state, it would probably be a little less overwhelming, wouldn't it? I mean, we look because in some states, it might just be 2, 3, 4% in that state versus 2% in another. I mean, in the aggregate. Am I making sense?
Yeah. It's actually not a lot of numbers. If we do our job and just talk to people and work our networks and explain what Trump and Republicanism actually means. And a lot of people, I mean, the reality is that people are, this is another theme that I've been writing on. People are hurting right now economically. It is, the cost of living has shot up higher and not everybody's salaries are keeping up. People are having to do multiple jobs. They work a regular job. Then they do a gig economy job afterwards just to keep up. It's tough. And Democrats have not done a good job of speaking to that, me included. I mean, I'm not casting stones. I'm included. Like we were talking about, well, unemployment's at a record low and we got lower inflation than the rest of the industrialized world. And this is economies is the envy of the world, right? People are hurting. They're not feeling that. Francisco and New York and Boston, we're feeling it. Yeah. We're doing well. But once you get outside of the big cities and the suburbs, it gets pretty bleak. And I'm not saying everybody in the cities is doing well either, right? But it gets bleak once you get outside. So people are not feeling that. And Trump came in and his message was, I'll lower prices on day one. It didn't matter that he had no plan. He had a semblance of a notion of he didn't have crap, right? He just said it. People are desperate enough that they responded to that. And I said the same thing with Mandani, right? He's coming in and he's saying, I'm going to make buses cheaper and I'm going to make groceries cheaper and I'm going to make housing cheaper. And I'm skeptical of his ability to deliver. But even if he doesn't, what he's telling people is, I actually see you. I see that you're struggling, and I'm going to fight to make your cost of living cheaper. And every politician should have that message, and that message alone right now. That's the only message that matters, and people respond to it. And a politician's first job, Mark, it's not to govern well. Politician's first job is to get elected. Get elected, and then try to figure it out. And yeah, there's consequences if you don't deliver, right? But freaking get elected first. And if people need to know that Democrats aren't trying to get elected so that they can focus on trans rights. That's a consequence of getting a Democrat elected. Trans rights will be protected if a Democrat's in power. But people need to know that they are voting for somebody to make their lives better. And that means right now, that means cost of living. So Democrats historically, they'll do things like child tax credit. Why are you freaking burying something in the goddamn tax code? If you want to reward a family for having children, which I think is a great thing, send them a freaking check. Send them a government check. Have it signed Joe Biden. Donald Trump signed his COVID era stimulus check. Joe Biden did not. And Joe Biden now said that was, you know, he was quoted recently saying it was stupid of him to not have his name signed on it. And people still talk about that. I got my Donald Trump check. Right. Nobody talks about the how many remember who the Treasury Secretary was under Biden, but nobody would remember that guy's name or know who he was, right?
Right.
There was no Biden check, even though there was a Biden check. He refused to sign it. Freaking send people money. And this is why right now Trump talking about doing a refund check from tariff revenues. I think it's incredibly smart politics. It's not going to happen just because it's just not going to get through Congress. But that is smart politics.
Right.
And because then you say you're getting your check every month. You like that check, right? It's a nice check. If Republicans win, they're going to take that check away. Now, imagine if Trump gets his tariff check. Now, I wrote a story that it's going to run, either it ran already or it's going to run today, but basically doing the math. And the people that would benefit from this check are actually losing more money from his new tax bill, because people making under $50,000 a year are going to get a tax increase, an $800 tax increase.
As a result of the tariffs?
Yeah. No, as a result of the tax bill.
The tax, okay, I got you. Okay.
Yeah. No, and so if you make under $50,000, you actually get a tax raise. You're paying more taxes, which again, Trump won that demographic. And as a result, they're getting a tax increase. If they got this check, though, this check is a lot more visible than paying more in taxes, right? You don't remember what you paid last year. Your income's different. Like, everything changes. But you get a check, and if Trump says, if Democrats win, they're going to stop these tariffs, and you're not going to get that check anymore. Hmm. That's some powerful politics, Mark.
Yeah. And he gets away with that kind of stuff. You know, it, as much as I agree with you that Biden should have done it, the media would have still attacked Biden. They treat them differently. Oh, why is Biden putting his name on the check? And I'm sure that they thought about that. Well, you know, they're going to make us pay if we do. They're going to make it look like we're doing something that's self-serving. But the media treats him differently and then settles with him. They give him a pass on this kind of stuff and then send him $1 million.
Yeah.
To get.
Oh, God, Mark.
It's
infuriating.
So you touched on the hospitals. But you also have a piece, West Virginia. West Virginians love Trump and they love their food stamps. They can't have both.
Yeah. West Virginia is the birthplace of food stamps. JFK actually went to West Virginia to promote this pilot program in rural West Virginia. It started off as an Appalachia poverty mitigation program. West Virginia, I think, either was the most Republican state last year or the second most Republican state to Wyoming. So deep, deep, deep red state. And then they're all worrying now that, oh, what happens if I lose my food stamps? So in most of West Virginia, about 2/3 of people depend on government services, whether it's Medicaid, whether it's SNAP, food stamps, also VA stuff. And you think the VA stuff would be safe, but it's not. You know, that the VAs had to suffer some cuts as well. It's coal miner, black lung mitigation programs and funding that this administration is cutting. Like all these programs, there's not a state that depends on the federal government more than West Virginia. And yet they voted 70% for Donald Trump. How does that make sense?
West Virginia is the reddest state in America.
Either the reddest or the second reddest. It's either that or Wyoming. And they're about 1 or 2 points from each other. And I don't remember which is which right now. So if you're that dependent on the feds and you're going to send her, oh, we hate the federal government, Donald Trump, he's going to cut everything. Mark, I'm out of empathy. I really, really am. It's one thing if you're one of the 30% in West Virginia who voted against this. I feel sorry for you. But those people who voted for this and then are saying, because, you know, Mark, you know, I mean, we know darn well what they were voting for, right? They thought when you're talking about cutting government programs, it's for those people who don't deserve it. And who are the people who don't deserve it, right? Black and brown, it's our communities.
So I was part of a session Monday where there was a presentation done on social media by Onyx Impact, Isosa Osa and them. And they talked about how much money is fueling the right wing social media sphere with disinformation. And they said, frankly, the disinformation is now an obsolete term, Marcos, that we are now in a moment of full-fledged fascist, not disinformation, but propaganda. Millions of dollars, three times as much as Democrats in our side spend on disseminating information on social media. Republicans are spending over three times as much. So if you're propagandized, you actually don't you can actually have your food stamps cut, your hospital closed, and you don't even realize
it. Yeah, and if they do, they'll blame it on Biden.
Yeah, this is what happened. Like, you remember this young lady went viral saying that Biden ended Roe.
Yeah.
He was a president, so he did it.
Yeah.
Man, this is getting, I hate to keep doing this, y'all, but you know, we should. Because that's what Fox does. Repetition, repetition, repetition. Power of suggestion. Mm-hmm. You know, things have to be repeated so we can see it. Read this for you. I might do a pop quiz on this one day. What did LBJ say that described what is going on right now? God bless LBJ. Country, he was smart every now and then, though.
One great example of that is the hurricane that hit North Carolina last year during the election season. Remember that? It absolutely flooded Western North Carolina, which is heavily rural. And the right-wing machine and Donald Trump, one of the things that FEMA does is they show up and they write a check. They just give people a check for like $800. Right. And it's like, you need shit right now. Here's some money. Then people can sign up for programs to rebuild their homes and revitalize their businesses, et cetera, right? Low-cost loans and other programs after the fact. Well, FEMA came in immediately. They gave out those checks, and Trump and the right-wing machine made this whole ado about people are losing millions of dollars of you know, their homes and everything, and all Biden has given them is $800. That was never true, right? That was just the immediate impact just to survive the next few days sort of money. But they made this huge deal, and Trump's like, you know, Biden is failing you. He hates you. He wants you to drown. And what's one of the first things he does when Trump takes power is he literally eliminates FEMA. And so you have disasters. They're not even getting the $800. They're getting zero. And Trump already said that after hurricane season that FEMA is going away, that he's shutting down FEMA. So he's giving Florida and Texas and Alabama and Mississippi, I think, one last gift before he shuts it down. But he plans on shutting it down and he wants to move it to the states. And Mark, what are the states that can afford to deal with their disasters? It's going to be the big, richer blue states, right? California, it's not going to be great, but California can afford to handle its own disaster preparedness. So can Illinois. So can New York and New Jersey. And can Florida absorb $5 to $10 billion a year in hurricane damage? Can Alabama and Mississippi? Those guys can't. Louisiana sure as heck can't. No. So he's basically shifting all this to the states. He's screwing his own people. But note that he was able to get a lot of traction in North Carolina, which he barely won, by demonizing actual use of FEMA the way it was always intended to be used, and then comes in and guts it and shuts it down. I mean, that is the sort of the power of propaganda. Now, are the people freaking out about Biden only giving people $800? Are they complaining that Trump is giving people zero? Of course not.
Right.
Because it's a propaganda machine, right? They've moved on to the next whatever outrage that supposedly Democrats are doing or literally making stuff up. But that's the challenge is people, a lot of Republicans, a lot of Trump voters believe that. They thought it was an outrage that Biden would only give them $800 when that was never what happened. And now they're not hearing that Trump is doling out zero.
Yeah.
And then you have people like Josh Hawley. I wrote about this yesterday. Josh Hawley, you know, senator from Missouri, he introduced a bill to return tariff money to voters. And he says he's only going to send it out to people making less than $75,000 a year because rich people, they'll vote Democrat anyway, and they don't deserve this money. Okay, that's what he said. And he's right that people that make more money voted more Democratic. That's just a given. But he just voted for the one big, beautiful bill that gave rich Americans and billionaires massive tax cuts and gave tax increases to those making under $50,000. And he's going to be acting all high and mighty and populist that, oh, we're going to punish those rich Democrats. They don't deserve this money. They already gave us all the monies.
Yeah, this is, we're not in a good place, y'all. Folks need to be aware. And that's why, you know, we try to do what we do to inform, but it's hard to compete in this atmosphere of propaganda and state-sponsored social media, fascist-sponsored social media, and then these media companies caving in every day to Donald Trump. Okay, you also looked into the mind. You wrote a piece, Inside the Mind of a Democratic Trump Voter. Talk to us about that, Marcos. What is that?
there's a Reddit post by a guy who was otherwise a Democrat, and by all indications, he claims that he voted Democrat, but he voted for Donald Trump, and it's actually kind of amazing. This guy's feeling buyer's remorse. And, you know, to his credit, like anybody who's a Democrat who voted for Donald Trump, we can all hope that they're having buyer's remorse and thinking like, okay, that was a dumb mistake. I'm never doing that again. And if we want to get that 5% bump, we need all these people, right? So I don't want to be like, F this guy, because he figured it out in the end. But it is amazing how he says, quote, I watched a debate between Trump and Harris, and Trump absolutely got his ass beat by Harris. Like, he admits time and time again, quote, she came off strong, prepared, looked great up there, but I just didn't hear anything new. Now, what is that? I don't even know what that means. I didn't hear anything new.
You don't know what it means.
Did Trump give anything new? I mean, it was the same retread campaign from 2016. It was build a wall and we hate immigrants. And so the mind of a typical voter, and it's stuff like this again and again, what would Harris been able to, I mean, she did what she needed to do. And yet people are like, eh. And this guy says she looked great. Like, he thought there's not even a code word for she's black and a woman, right? Like, he says she looked great, but I didn't hear anything new. He wanted fresh ideas, and he wasn't very happy with Joe Biden's presidency. He didn't think it was awful, but it wasn't great either. Well, okay, so Joe Biden's not great, not awful, not great, average presidency. he had a problem with, but Donald Trump's absolutely disastrous COVID era nightmare of a presidency, that was okay, right? So when you start reading stories like this, you realize they're not very logical. And I think a lot of us as liberals, and we want to be able to like create, make the logical argument that will make people see stuff. A lot of it's just vibes, right? There are some weird vibes stuff, and Trump has been really good historically on the vibes. So then he says, quote, "When I watched the DNC, I didn't see much other than the party turning away from everyday citizens who are looking for a bright future. And instead, it seemed like the DNC was open to big business and corporate donors. I'm against political parties being bought and paid, so it turned me off to the Democrats." So,
what?
I mean, Mark, you were at the convention. I was at the convention. It was literally everything was about making life better for Americans and for a bright future. And the Republican one, if you're talking about bright future, the Republican one was a funeral dirge. It was America's in decline. America's terrible. America is destroyed. Joe Biden destroyed America. It felt like a funeral. There was barely any people there. Mm-hmm. Their roll call was like, and if we're going to talk about a party being bought on paper by corporate interests, like what would you look at the DNC and say, yeah, I see corporate donations ever. You don't. They're not even, it's not like they put their corporate sponsors in the background. And Republicans obviously raise just as much money. So Mark, you know what that speaks to? What you're talking about. It's a propaganda machine. Where was this guy getting his news where he decided that the Republican convention was pure as a driven snow and the Democratic one was a corporate outpost where nobody talked about a bright future? Clearly, he didn't see the conventions.
No. No.
And that's the power of propaganda.
And just repeating somebody else he's heard or saw say or write on social media. Probably didn't even look at it. That's absurd. That convention was nothing like that. But
yeah,
you're right.
Then he says, "I felt," quote, "I felt Trump would calm down the Ukraine-Russia conflict and Trump would use his relationship to Putin to basically say, stop this shit and create a calmer world for us. Also would work to fix the debt this country is facing, lower inflation, transparency on Epstein files, and bring plenty of jobs back to the U.S. What in Trump's history would suggest that he could do or would do any of that? Again, he's stuck in some propaganda machine. And even as a Democrat, even voting Democratic down ballot, assuming he did, and he's being honest, he was still trapped in that propaganda machine.
Mm.
That is the power of what Republicans have. It's a power Trump has. Thankfully, he's a unique political figure. His ability to get people to believe his lies, to ignore his truths, and then to fill in the blanks of anything he hasn't said with whatever their own hopes and aspirations are. There's nobody like that. And hopefully there never will be. And if there is, hopefully it's somebody on our side, not theirs. Because that is some powerful, powerful stuff. So he's angry on the Epstein files. Quote, "Epstein files guy thinks we're stupid." Yes, he thinks you're stupid. He always did. He literally said, "I love the uneducated, the poorly educated. I love the poorly educated." Of course he thinks you're stupid. So he's angry at Epstein. He's angry at getting rid of the Department of Education. Get this. Quote, "Getting rid of Department of Education. I know he brought this up during this campaign, but I thought he'd be sensible enough to work across the aisle with Democrats on this matter. But this is insane." I don't even know what to say.
Yeah.
When somebody thinks Trump would work across the aisle or be sensible.
No historical evidence of that ever happening. But
Trent
Spives, it's a man thing too. Men.
Yeah.
Men can do everything. Men are smart. Men, just men. And a manly man is the best man.
Yep.
And maybe it wasn't political, but we still are victims of culture. We live in a reality. Here's a paradox. This might be good for something for me to write about at school now that I'm thinking about it, y'all. We live in a paradox. we live in a culture of reality television. It's been going on now for quite some time. When did reality TV start? What, at least 20 years ago?
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. And so that has become normal. And so the more a reality celebrity someone is, the more lionized they are. But living, here's my thesis. Living in a reality show culture distances us from reality itself so that we don't even know we're being harmed. That's kind of heavy, isn't it? Let me write that down before I forget. That's a paper. I gotta write a paper every week. I gotta come up. Anything that comes top of mind, I gotta do it. But that's what it is, y'all. A reality show star. That this country has elected president. He's divorcing us from the reality of the trouble in our lives that he's causing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, there's a sense in reality that you need to be entertained by people. And in reality TV, it doesn't. Yeah, you're entertained. Whatever wackiness or this is the mean one, this is a nice one, this is naive character. But it doesn't matter, right? You turn off the TV, you go on to your life. They thought the presidency is like that, that it's just some reality show and you entertained and he's funny. But this stuff actually has consequences. And Mark, for the first time, I mean, I keep bringing this point up. For the first time, white people are being affected. This is the first time that they have really, somebody that they voted for, because rural America has always been protected. They've always been coddled. You know, they overrepresented in the House and the Senate. So it's always been a benefit of theirs to be that way. And both parties have protected them in the way that urban Americans have not. Black Americans have always gotten screwed. Latinos living in kind of an underworld where they're sort of one step in, one step out of American society, and they don't get the benefits, all the benefits. But white Americans, they've always had everything that they've ever needed. And this is the first time that a politician is taking an axe to their programs, their hospitals, their food stamps. Food stamps aren't predominantly black people, which is what they all think, right? No, they deserve it. They're the deserving ones. They should have food stamps. They're getting the cut. And it's going to be really interesting over the next year to see how this all plays out. Wow. Because it is, I keep saying it, is quite amazing how systematically Trump is taking a sledgehammer to his own voters. Like, I've never seen that. And it's because Republicans are not used to being the party of poor people. So, yeah, they won on the votes of poor people, but they're governing like they won with the votes of rich people. And right now, the parties are flipped. We are the party of the wealthy, educated elite. They're the party of the poorly educated, as Trump would say, of meth country, of areas that are economically disadvantaged.
Poorly educated. You know what Bishop Barber would say to you, though, Marcos? Not that we're the party of the elite or well off, but that Democrats actually failed in mobilizing poor voters. And, you know, that would support us. There was no plan. And it's arguable, you know, GOTV wasn't great on our side overall. A lot of things we felt fell down on and didn't spend money in places we needed to spend it to get voters out. But he says particularly, and he's got the numbers to show it, there were a lot of poor whites who didn't show up either. Mm-hmm. The Democrats could have gone and gotten.
But would they have voted for us?
He thinks so. And he says that from his point of view, because, I mean, he's still out here organizing poor people. Man, listen, yeah. I went to West Virginia.
Because poor white people are our worst demographic. So I wouldn't want to turn them out if I was being Machiavellian about the vote.
But see, now think about it, though. If that number, if you're talking about 5%, mm-hmm. again, that may be enough to make that difference. We need to sit down with him.
You would have to be very good. Because, you know, one of the problems that we had is with the rise in black men and Latino men voting Republican, we actually turned them out in places like Philadelphia. We actually turned out the Republican vote in a lot of places because we just assumed all Black and Latinos were our people, especially if you lived in Philly. Why wouldn't you be?
That's terrible.
So you have to get a little more sophisticated in how to target.
You're right.
Yeah.
Let me say this, though. On West Virginia, I've been to West Virginia. I've been there with Bishop Barber. And I was in places where people, just walking them down the street, meeting people who think just like you and me. Mm-hmm. So I'm like, where are those people? Now, it's obviously not enough of them to make Virginia, West Virginia even purple. But they exist. You know, I remember people saying to me when I was there, man, the only time we see Joe Manchin is when he comes in town from time to time, zipping through town on his in his Porsche. Yeah. Couldn't stand the man. So, yeah, it's propaganda.
Yeah, I think the first step, though, is you do what Trump did, what Danny's doing now, is you come in and you say, my job is to make your life better.
Yeah.
And whatever that looks like, we're not going to bury benefits in tax codes. We're not going to talk about lowering the price of housing by creating tax incentives for developers to put up more housing. And maybe you'll see benefits in 10 years. I'm not saying don't do that, but I'm saying you gotta pair anything long-term with immediate benefits and just promise it. Just promise it. Promise to give people stuff.
Right.
Trump did it. Danny's doing it to great effect. It's powerful, and actually it's really what politicians should be doing. I mean, this is not some great revelation. What's your job? It's to make people's life better.
Yeah.
And the difference, you know, I see these, you know, I wrote a story about this guy in Nebraska who is upset that his rural mail service is getting cut. Talk about inefficiency. You vote for the party that talks about running government like a business. Don't complain when your rural ass that doesn't even support a Walmart gets benefits cut because it's nothing efficient about servicing rural broadband or the Department of Agriculture. These are not efficient government programs. And the difference is that we never complained. I've never in my life said, why is my money going to rural broadband? I don't use that. But this guy's saying, I support cutting government, but not the programs I use. Well, yeah, that's not the social contract. The social contract isn't give me all the stuff I want and F you.
Yeah.
Society does not work that way. And I don't think I've ever met a liberal in my entire life that ever said, why are our tax dollars going to rural broadband? Now we'll talk about defense. We'll talk about waste in places. But programs that help people?
Yeah.
Never, ever. And yet here they are. They built an entire ideology of I got mine, give me, and screw everybody else. And finally, they're on the other end of that. Finally, they're the inefficient. You know, we talk about fraud, waste, and abuse. Spending money on rural America, that's a waste. Why are we spending billions of dollars on a few thousand people that want to live out in the middle of nowhere?
Right.
But that's the difference. We were okay with that. They've changed the rules. And they changed the rules. All right, we're playing by a new game now.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good for our society, though. This is not healthy for our society, but we need to get to the other side of it. We need people to understand that this is a social contract, that we are all in this together.
So, Marcos, before I have to ask you, what are your thoughts about Kamala Harris's decision not to run for governor?
I'm agnostic. I'm a little sad that this is what could have been. And what is are so different. And it sounded, I mean, obviously she leaves the door open, but it sounds like she's not really running for president again either. So it sounds like she's kind of done.
You think so?
That's the vibe I got from her statement was that she's kind of done.
I'm not trying to, if that vibe exists, I haven't received it and I'm probably not trying to. I don't know. I kind of think she should have done it. I mean, how many black woman governors have we had?
Yeah.
Worst case scenario, you governor of California, you do a great job at that. And you may or may not run for president in 2 years. So you could take it both ways. It's like she's not running for governor of California because she does plan to run for president in 2 years. When's the gubernatorial election? That's next year. When is it?
Yeah.
She would be serving for governor for 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
and then running for president. Maybe she had a problem with that. But so what? You know, these white men do whatever they want to do.
They do.
They do whatever they want to do. And everybody knew when Hillary was elected to the Senate here in New York, what the ultimate, what the master plan was. Nobody was fooled. Oh, I'm shocked. She's running for president. No, she won the Senate seat, ran for Senate, got the blessing of Moynihan. And everybody knew she was going to run for president.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So yeah, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say it's going to be free for all. And as soon as the 2026 midterms end, it's going to be a free for all on the Democratic side, on both sides actually. But it'll be interesting.
May not even be an election, y'all. I'm just telling you. You heard it here, so everybody's not surprised. Get ready. I told people, get ready. Let's prepare the battle plan. Don't wait. Oh my God, I can't believe it. A lot of us still keep saying, I can't believe this. I can't believe this is happening. I never thought, what? What else do you need to see?
We warned them, Mark.
What else do we need to see? Yeah. All right.
All right.
Marcos, appreciate you, buddy. We'll take a little time off for the month of August with Thursday Coast. I'll still be around. We'll come back. I've reached out to Mom Donnie, trying to get him to come on the show with us. You and me. So we've reached out and we're negotiating. Art of the deal.
Get him on. We'll catch you in September.
All right. Thanks, man.
Yeah. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Thanks for getting woke and listening to Make It Plain. As always, perform an act of kindness on behalf of an elder or young person. Write a letter to a sister or brother who just so happens to find her or himself incarcerated. Offer libations to the ancestors upon whose sturdy shoulders we all now stand. And above all, give thanks to the God of your understanding by whatever name you call her and him. All God asks of us is that we give each other love. Thanks for giving MIP love. And please remember to subscribe and give us a 5-star rating. If all hearts and minds are clear, it has been made plain.
Your check, your cooperative. As a farmer-owned lender, Farm Credit Mid-America shares the success of the cooperative with our customers, which is why we've returned more than $1.5 billion back to our customer owners over the last 9 years. It's proof being a part of our cooperative pays. Patronage is an annual decision made by the board of directors to return earnings to eligible customers. To learn more about patronage and eligibility, visit fcma.com/patronage.
Life is a workout. And Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're grinding out bicep curls or muscling the couch across the living room, crushing morning miles, or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, Smoothie King has fuel to help you maximize your workouts, own your recovery, and elevate your game. Give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs with a lineup of delicious smoothies made to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.